The gospel lesson is John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we begin the second part of our walk through this Easter season. We've got this week and two more weeks left in Eastertide. And so for these 3 weeks, we're going to be focusing on love and how we love and show love as a natural response to Jesus and those that he calls us to be in ministry with as disciples. So our passage today from John chapter 13 gives a command that we are to follow. Jesus provides this command to his disciples as part of a set of teachings that we sometimes refer to as the farewell discourse, a group of teachings that Jesus gives trying to prepare his followers for what it will be like to live life as disciples of Jesus, even when Jesus is not physically present with them any longer. Jesus is trying to explain some of the why behind what he's doing and teaching. Jesus understands that this community of disciples will soon be the very beginnings of what we know today as the Church Universal. This group of disciples, as they seek to be disciples, even without Jesus physically present, will be vulnerable. They'll need nurture and care, and they'll need some ground rules of how to live with each other. So Jesus gives this new commandment to help shape the future of the disciples and the church, to be something that represents Christ in the world. The church is going to need to learn how to inhabit love, even when they argue, even when they disagree, so that they can be the presence of the church and Christ in the world. But being marked by the love of Christ, as Jesus intends, does not mean that love will come easy to the disciples or to you and me. There are people, we might admit, on our more honest of days, even within our own church family, whom we find difficult to love. Maybe sort of like the butterscotch lollipops. But we stay committed to each other and to God because of love, even when we disagree or when things get complicated. So Jesus gives a rule for all seasons of life. In verses 34 and 35, he says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." You know, if Jesus' command wasn't quite so specific, it might be a little easier to live with. You must love as I have loved you, Jesus commands. You must love so that others will know who I am, Jesus commands. We have been marked by the love of Jesus, and we can't help but share that love in return. Now, here's what I mean. Earlier in chapter 13 of John, Jesus uses a very powerful example to illustrate this before he ever starts talking about it. He begins to wash the feet of his disciples, conveying to them the most extraordinary love before he commands them to do the same as he has just done. You see, washing feet was a necessary thing. The roads were dusty and dirty, sometimes very muddy, and shoes were porous or non-existent. So a good host, upon entering a house, would offer a basin of water so that guests could wash their feet. An extravagant host would go beyond just offering the basic basin of water and a towel, but they would also offer a slave to wash the feet of the guests before entering the home. The only reason that someone would voluntarily wash another person's feet was to show complete devotion to that person. This is what Jesus is doing for his disciples. He voluntarily washes their feet, showing them love and devotion that's not just mere affection. Jesus insists that he must act in this manner, even though the disciples push back, because Jesus knows that it's going to be an important part of their relationship, that this is a gift of love that Jesus can give, the gift of divine love and friendship. In fact, Jesus' love is often stronger than we want to give him credit for in this passage. John tells us that Jesus comes from God and is going to God, and that God has put all things into Jesus' hands. And it's with these hands that God has put all things into that Jesus volunteers to wash his disciples' feet. Jesus shows love. He shows his self-giving nature as he washes the feet of each disciple one by one down the line, including Judas, whom he knows will betray him in but a matter of hours. God's hands washing the feet of disciples is a gift of love. So after it's all over, Jesus talks with his disciples about why he washed their feet. And then he commands them to love as they have been loved that very evening. But love isn't just a gift that Jesus gives. It's also an example for us. Jesus commands the disciples to show love to others as they have received love from him. That command isn't some sort of moral platitude. It isn't an instruction to be nice, to be helpful, to be a better citizen, to respect others. Jesus' command here is to share the kind of love that catches people off guard, the kind of love that surprises, the kind of love that startles in unexpected ways. It's the command to do what is needed rather than what is expected. The command to love and to let that love come through us is a command that propels us into service. For love is not an abstract thing or a feeling. It's an action that brings us into relationship with others and with Jesus and with our faith community. The giving and receiving of love that Jesus means here calls something more of us. It asks us to be vulnerable, to be humble, to take into account the needs of others and to take actions that are motivated by love. Earlier in the Gospel of John, we hear how God did this. In John 3, chapter 3, verse 16, we hear, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus set a new pattern for his disciples to follow, a pattern of service and humility, of caring for others with compassion and love. The abundant life that Jesus offers is not gained by grabbing. Rather, it's found in releasing. The love that Jesus offers is not gained by hoarding, but rather by giving. We find the love that Jesus is talking about not when we gain power or try to rule over others, but by serving the least of these, as we have been served by Jesus. This is the pattern that is set before us for lives that are marked by God's love. This sort of marking love does require a response from us, though. It requires that we love the ones that we agree with and the ones with whom we disagree. It requires that the ones we love are both the ones who are easy to love and who are difficult to love. We are called to indiscriminately love, with a love that calls us to be more than we are capable of being on our own. Such a strong and vibrant love will surely mark our lives, so that we are known as disciples of Jesus Christ, the living Lord. Let us pray. God of love, you have marked us with the seal of your Holy Spirit. You have displayed the ultimate example of love in Jesus Christ. Empower us to embody love for God and neighbor in all that we do and say. Amen.